The last time that we had one of these lessons, we were talking about Christ.
And specifically how Christ relates back to the covenant of Israel. And we talked about how the story of Jesus in a lot of ways seems to carry forward Israel's story. Even geographically, we see things with Jesus' life connecting to Israel. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus comes out of Egypt. And then he goes through the waters of baptism. He comes into the wilderness. He then goes to a mountain where he teaches. And we said that so many of these things seem to echo things in the life of Israel. Israel is talked about by the prophets as being a spiritually dead nation. But there's hope that as a nation they'll be raised in their faith, that kind of language being used. And we tried to kind of map the life of Jesus over the life of Israel, saying that what Jesus does is he does what no individual ever did, but also what the nation as a whole didn't do, in being perfectly faithful to God, in truly representing God well to the people, to all the people. And so tonight we're going to move ahead in our story, looking at the church and thinking about how the church also connects to the story. It's not like we get into the New Testament and now all these things are just brand new as far as this idea of the people of God. And so much of this connects back to the Old Testament, back to who Israel was supposed to be, what their mission really was. And that's what we'll try to bring out tonight, is thinking about the church as part of this story. Part of this story that started all the way back in Genesis chapter 1. And that if we are a part of the church, then we're a part of that story as well. We are God's people today. So we're going to try to just kind of draw some parallels, try to highlight a few things where language about what the church is to be about, or the sort of people there to be, really seems to go along with something said about what Israel was supposed to be in the Old Testament. One of the things we see right away as we get into reading in Genesis is that Adam and Eve were told to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. They are said to be made in the image of God. And really, they are supposed to be the first ones involved in filling the world with images of God, with representatives of God. And so they're told to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Go into all the earth is really the idea there. That's what they're supposed to be doing. We see it repeated again with Noah. Noah, we said, is sort of a recreation event. The old is done away with, the new is brought in, and so much of what Noah is told to do echoes things back in the creation. And we see it here with Noah as well. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And even when we look at the promises made to Abram, later Abraham, he's told to go. And that they're going to be a great nation. And where we see this promise being repeated throughout the Old Testament, we find the language of multiply. Go out, multiply, grow, fill the earth, that sort of language. In Genesis 22, 17 and 18, one of the places where the promise is restated with some different wording. Indeed, I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. I will bless you. I will multiply you. You will multiply. When we look at the book of Leviticus, where there's blessings being talked about for obedience, if the people are obedient, what good things will happen? It says in Leviticus 26 and verse 9, I will turn towards you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. Those are Adam and Eve words. That's Genesis 1 language. That if you are faithful, now we're in Leviticus, if you are faithful, I'll make you fruitful. I will multiply you. Well, when we think about what we are to be as the church, Jesus is crucified, he's resurrected, he ascends. And when we look at the conclusion of each of the Gospels, we really have this, although the wording may not be exactly the same, this be fruitful and multiply idea. Go into all the world, go into all the earth. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the world with disciples. In Matthew 28 and verse 19, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Mark 16 and verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, he said to them, so it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead and on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. In the Gospel of John, we don't have exactly the same thing, but it says in chapter 20 and verse 21, so Jesus said to them again, peace be to you. Just as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Later in this year, on Wednesday nights, we're going to be talking about evangelism. And I don't know how often we might use the language of reproducing in regard to our faith, but really that is what we're supposed to do. In a spiritual sense, to multiply, to be fruitful, to go into all the earth, fill the world with people who will represent God well, who will bear the image of God. And that is a core part of our mission. Well, as we think about us being a part of this story, this unfolding story that we have in the Bible, I want us to just look at a few parallels where something is said about the church that echoes in some way with something about Israel. And I don't have a real defined structure with this, really. I just want us to look at some different verses where there's something said about the church, and the way that we're supposed to understand that is that we're a part of the story. What Israel was said to be, what they were supposed to be doing, is now in some way what we're supposed to be doing. If we look at the verses that we had for our reading, Romans 9 and then verses 6 and 8, but it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. When we get into the New Testament and we think about the people of God, who are God's people, one of the core ideas is that it's no longer about our physical lineage. It's not about being born into a Jewish family. That doesn't make you among the people of God. It's about being born into the family of believers. It's not about being in a Jewish family tree. It's about being in Christ. And that if we are in Christ, regardless of what nation a person comes from on this earth, that promise that was made all the way back to Abraham applies to us. That we're part of the family. We're part of that promise. Not all those who are Israel are Israel, is what the verse is saying. Not all those who were physical Jewish Israelite people are truly God's people. But all the nations can be in Christ, can be children of the promise. Another verse we might think about is Philippians 3 and verse 3. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and take pride in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. The true circumcision. Again, this is language meant to recall things around the Jewish nation, the Jewish people of the Old Testament. But now it says we are the true circumcision, meaning we are the true people of God. We are those who take pride in Christ. Not in the flesh, but we take pride in Christ. Again, it's not about being born into a Jewish family, having Jewish blood. That doesn't make us among the people of God. But rather, taking pride in Christ. That's what we're to be proud of. We should be proud of that. That because of Christ, we can be in the family of God. We can be a part of this story. We take pride in that. As we keep thinking about just some places where we have this kind of language terminology being used, in James 1 and verse 1, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. He says he's writing to the 12 tribes. Well, we haven't seen the 12 tribes for a long time. How is James writing this New Testament letter saying he's writing to the 12 tribes? Well, most likely, again, it's that Jewish kind of language meant to recall things of the Old Testament. He's writing to God's people. Some think this might be a primarily Jewish audience. It could be Gentiles as well. I don't know that we know for sure, but he says he's writing to the 12 tribes. I'm writing to God's people. True Israel, the true circumcision, the 12 tribes, all these things are meant to recall all those things in the Old Testament. That now we're a part of that story. Now we are God's people. In Galatians 3 and verse 29, and maybe this was actually our reading tonight, I'm not sure. It says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's descendants. It doesn't say if you were born in this geographic location, or if this or that, but if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's descendants. So we have this language of the true Israel, the true circumcision, the 12 tribes, Abraham's offspring. Another thing we find in the New Testament is the temple. We also are the temple. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, and then chapter 6 and verse 19, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? As we think about what it means for us to be a part of this story, you are a temple. Your body is a temple. What a marvelous thing to think about. When we think about the Old Testament and what a huge part that the temple plays in that story, in the identity and the mission of what Israel is, the temple was the place associated with God's dwelling. It was associated with worship, with God's glory. The other nations were to look at the temple and to know these are God's people. And now it says, you are a temple. As an individual in Christ, you are a temple. Collectively, as the church, you are a temple. God's dwelling is with you. God's presence is with you. God is to be glorified through us. The rest of the people around us, the rest of the world around us is to look at me, to look at you, to look at us, and understand something about God. That God's glory is seen through us, in us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, in what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, says the Lord Almighty. We have a couple of scriptures here that clearly were spoken to Israel of the covenant. I will dwell in them and walk among them, be their God, they'll be my people. And come out from among them and be separate. Don't touch what's unclean. Those scriptures are now being applied to the church. I'll be their God and they will be my people. Live lives of holiness, of cleanness, of righteousness. And then one other scripture that we'll look at this evening. And this one, maybe more than any other, is just really a summation of what we're talking about tonight. That what we are as the church is the people of God. And so much of, obviously, we're not under the old covenant. We're not under a system of sacrifices in a physical temple and those kinds of things. But so much of who Israel was supposed to be is what we're supposed to be. One of the things we said in some earlier lessons is that Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations, and yet they became just like all the other nations. And that really is where we are in the story. We are supposed to be a light to the nations, a light to the world around us. And yet it can be very tempting to become just like the world around us. It says in these verses in 1 Peter 2 and 9 and 10, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Who are we as the church? What does it mean to be a part of the church? It's that now we are the people of God. And then what applies to us as now the people of God, that also was who Israel was. We're God's chosen. We are a royal priesthood. We are to be a holy nation. We're part of a kingdom. We're to be different, distinct. We're his own special people. And why we are all of these things is so that we may proclaim his praises. That we may proclaim the praises of the one who brought us out of darkness and into the light. This really is what Israel of old was supposed to be. God had brought them out of Egypt. God had brought them out of their captivity. And they were supposed to be praising God, praising the God that set them free. And that's what we are as a part of the story as well. We talked this morning about going from slaves of sin to being freed from sin to now being slaves to righteousness, enslaved to God. If we've been freed from sin, we ought to be proclaiming God's praises, singing God's praises, being thankful that we've been brought out of our captivity, what we were enslaved to. As we think about who we are people who are part of the story that begins in Genesis. Sometimes we might treat the Bible just as an old book. There's a lot of words in it. It's a living, active word. And as the church, we're part of that. That's what our identity is. That's who we are. And if you're here tonight and you need to be part of the church in terms of being forgiven, being set free from sin, if you're here and you need to be baptized, confess your belief, be baptized, live a new life. If you're here tonight and you need to do that, or if you need to do anything else that we can assist you with at this time, we have this time set aside for that. So if you have a need, please let it be known as we stand and sing.